Hey everybody, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about changing your mind.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
This is the concept of when and how should you change your mind or your opinion about something as a founder? How do you get better at learning to change, especially changing your mind, which is probably the first step in change of everything? And that to a large degree, right, when we talk about startups that fail, we always go back to, well, they failed because they didn't change, they didn't learn fast enough. And what does learn fast enough mean to a certain degree? It means like changing your hypothesis or changing the direction of your company or changing your execution or changing something, right? Your idea, whatever. But it means that you didn't change either enough or you didn't change when it mattered. And so I think that that's a fascinating episode to talk about, especially from you and my perspective in terms of how and when do we change our mind? When was the last time we've changed our mind? And how do we work on this, on getting better at this, et cetera, et cetera? I know that we had a prior episode where this popped up, and I'm dying to dive into this in more detail and unpack this.
Yeah. So I've always loved the quote and loved people who have strong opinions that are loosely held. And I really love, like, personally, it's one of the things I really live by. It's such a powerful thing to me. And I think it's one of the hardest things to do in life because, especially when you're like, you know, really driven to succeed or do things, because this idea that you have these strong opinions, in by nature of those words, strong opinions means they're not loosely held, right? Like you have to hold them tight. You have to be like, hey, this is it. This is what I'm doing, or this is what matters, or this is what's important, right? And then a lot of times, you know, when you're a manager or you're a founder or you're a leader in a company, or even personally, you have to go make that a reality, right? Anything. You want to get better at your job, even if you have a job, you have to make that a reality. And that takes having a strong opinion about yourself or what you need to achieve or whatever. So how do you loosely hold those strong opinions? So I think there's a simple trick, which is like, I might have this opinion today, but I am willing to change if there are facts or there are experiences or there are experiments that I do that prove that my strong opinion is wrong. And that's the way I think about just how I like to live and not get stuck or held up by these opinions I have that might be holding me back. And that really is what relates to willingness to change. At least that's my sort of starting point to kind of discuss with you this topic from my end. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how you view it, like in terms of change.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, one of the main drivers of personal happiness that I've come to understand about myself is the feeling that I've grown, right? The feeling that I've grown as a person. And grown to me, one of the best indicators that I have grown as a human being is usually, sometimes it's making new experiences or making kind of life expanding experiences. That's one part of it. But the other part of it is changing my mind or expanding how I think about things. And one exercise that I've been doing for a number of years now, I've always known this, but I've never really tracked this in any meaningful way. And one exercise that I started over the last few years was that during kind of the end of the year, New Year's period of time, one thing that I typically sit down and do is I try to look back at what I was doing and who I was like a year ago. And I ask myself if there's anything that I thought or that I did a year ago that today I think is totally dumb or completely wrong. And if I can't come up with a good list, that is usually a bad sign. That usually scares me. That means that if I think still that the things that I was doing and the way that I was acting and thinking 2 years or 3 years ago is totally on point and awesome today, to me, that means I haven't grown. I haven't changed enough, right? And I have to tell you, like last year, one of the main reasons that at the end of the year, though a lot of things went really well in my life, in general, so many things go so well in my life. Last year, I felt a little unhappy at the end of the year. And to a large degree, I feel like I didn't change enough. I didn't learn enough. I didn't grow enough. I still kind of was holding on to a lot of my shit. And one of the reasons why this year, although it's been a wild year and a challenging year in many, many awesome ways, one of the reasons why this year I feel much better already or much more happy is that I have changed my mind about a bunch of things. So in a weird way, changing my mind is an indicator for me that I'm growing. Now, one thing that's challenging or one thing that I'm particularly interested to talk to you about is that, you know, a lot of times, I'll give you an example. A lot of times I tell people, and I mean it, that one of the greatest things for me is working with people that will attempt to do something I think is wrong or dumb and then prove that they were right. That was one of my favorite experiences when working with people is when I tell somebody, this won't work, and they go and they do it and it worked. I love that. I absolutely, this is my favorite. This is the few moments where I'm beaming of life and excitement when that happens. And I have zero ego about it, and I won't spend a second talking about like, well, I told you not to do this. The moment you prove me wrong, I'm like, that second I adopted your way of thinking and I'm championing it now, right? And I love that. But one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, at times, especially in areas where let's take sales. Sales is a good example. Sales is an area that I'm very, very experienced in and I'm pretty skilled at. And I've seen every week I get so much data about it and I learn so many things and I hear so many things and I see so many things. So in certain areas where I'm really knowledgeable, it's harder and harder to come by these like, oh my God, I was totally wrong about XYZ. Or at least it's harder for me to, I don't know, maybe to be more open-minded about seeing that I was wrong, or it's not as obvious, but it's harder for me to come by these moments where somebody proves me wrong or I prove myself wrong, right? And, you know, and so, you know, my hack or my thinking on this, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, my hack and my thinking of this is that I probably have to put myself in more challenging situations, or I probably need to bring in more experienced people, more talented people that can easier disprove my theories. So it's all about the people I surround myself. That level needs to continue going up more and more dramatically for me to be stimulated to change and to see that I was wrong faster. Because, you know, 10 years ago, I was seeing that I was wrong and changing my mind quite frequently. Today, with more success, more seniority, more experience, it doesn't happen as frequently if I don't work really hard at it. And I'm curious to hear your point of that. You're, you know, somebody that a lot of people admire, somebody that has incredible wisdom, not just good looks. And so, like, how often does it happen that you change your mind? And what is the design that you create in your startup, your team with your co-founder, to make sure that that really happens, and that happens as fast as possible, and you're not slowing it down for whatever reason?
We assume we're wrong.
Mm.
We just assume we're wrong. So even when you say what you said, which, you know, this is one of those points where it's like, I love the way you think about, you know, someone on your team doing something you disagree with and then it being right. I feel like that holds you back. And the reason I say that is, on one hand, I get why you say it. You're basically saying that your team has the sort of okay from you to do things you disagree with. I love that. But then you're also saying that you disagree with it. So to me, that means that there might be a flaw in how you're able to execute as a result of that thinking. So imagine if instead you had an outcome that that team member was responsible for and you let go of every opinion you have about how that outcome gets achieved, except that that outcome needs to be achieved. And the reason I say that, and I'm really curious to hit on that first, is mainly because I want to know why you think you need to be so negative and you need to disagree with things. Because I think there's a lot underneath that. And I'm not saying you're wrong in doing that. I'm really curious how that drives you and your team.
You know, that's a really good point. I come back to like remembering one of my favorite quotes of George Soros, who was asked once, I think at a Google author event, how he's been so successful and so right about so many things when it comes to like investing and all that. And he said, I know I'm wrong all the time about everything. And all I do is I constantly try to be a little less wrong about things. And I love that. But the honest truth is that I don't live that, right? Because you're right. I'll have a conversation with somebody. When they come to me and they ask for advice, I'm not like a super hands-on manager, but when they come to me and they say, okay, here's the goal that we're trying to accomplish. Here's my three ways of how I'm trying to accomplish this goal. I will have opinion on these, sometimes strong, sometimes not so strong. I will always, share my opinions and then tell them that it's their ultimate responsibility to go and do whatever they want to do. They're responsible for the outcome. So I'm with you on that. But inside of me, I believe that I'm right. Right? My base assumption when I talk to people is not, especially in certain areas where I feel confident, it's not that I'm probably wrong. It's that I'm probably more likely right. And I don't know how to change that. Like I philosophically, I totally subscribe to that philosophy, but I honestly don't live it. And I'm not sure what to do and how to do to switch that and think totally differently on that.
Love it. That's really valuable to understand where you're coming from. So my approach on people on the team is a little different. And maybe it's from just giving a ton of advice and realizing that like this whole theory of like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. So to me, I'm not trying to make anyone drink any water, even if I know where it is and I know they should drink it. Instead, I'm trying to help them see how to get to the water themselves. So when someone comes to me and says, okay, obviously this is the outcome. Here's the three ways that I think we can get to that outcome. And I just want your advice. My advice to them would be like, okay, I'm not going to give you an opinion on those three ways and like specifically on any of them. I'm going to help you figure out how can you evaluate for yourself, which is the right one to start with, or how do you get to the right answer? Because all you're trying to do is get to the best answer, not even right answer, best answer. So I'm going to assume that even though I have an opinion on those three, my opinion is not even just wrong, it's irrelevant. And what's more relevant is this person learning how to get the answer to that question so they never have to fucking ask me again. And what I find in organizations is that people don't build up that ability in themselves to be able to find the answer the way the culture, the way the founders would like them to or would do themselves. So I just want to tell you how to find the water. I don't even want to tell you like how to get to the water. I want to tell you how to find the water because you will drink it if you find it yourself. If I tell you where it is and show you how to get there, you might not drink it because it's not you didn't do it. So that extreme ownership is probably what I would go for. So that's where I come up with this concept and this idea that I'm wrong, but it's not even that I'm wrong. It's that I'm irrelevant. My opinion is irrelevant. Someone else's ability to find the right answer is so much more important to me than my answer.
I love that. And it's not that I've never heard this before, but it's one of those things that I don't live yet fully, right? So here's
a chance. And it's hard.
Yeah, here's a chance.
We all have opinions.
Here's a chance to grow and to change behavior, not just mindset. But this is such an important thing, but it's been something that I've been agreeing with for a long time, but I think I've been failing at, in various degrees for a long time. So this conversation might be an interesting spark.
And I don't want to pick on you, right? But the one thing that my strategy is when I hear people, when I hear organizations and how they operate, is are they coming from a place of negativity?
Hmm.
And when you say even the idea that I might be wrong, or like I'm assuming I'm wrong. I know I said that that's how I do it, but that's just the starting point. I think irrelevance of my opinion is actually what I'm going for. And it's not even irrelevance. It's more of like a core deep understanding that people need to find their own way to answers and I can teach them how to get to the answer. I should not be giving them the answer. So, and they should not think, and again, this is the hardest thing too, they should not think I have the right answer. Because that's like detrimental to an organization scaling and people being able to make the kind of decisions you would make in your organization if you're the founder or a manager. And you're not even necessarily looking for them to make the kind of decision you would make. You're looking for them to make the right goddamn decision. for the business. The right one. The best one. The best one in this moment, right? The best one right now. Actually, it's the best one right now. This is probably the best way to say it. You know, it has right and best in it. Perfect. The best decision right now is what I need you to make. So in my head, I'm like, how the heck am I going to help you make the best decision for right now? And so I think that like this is one of the hardest things to create when you think about this whole idea and this concept, you know, of like making sure that you're developing people and making sure that you're kind of willing to change.
I fucking love it. Let's I want to put a, you know, a nice bow on this and wrap this episode up. Those are super wise words. And I think in a ton of inspiration, stimulation for people to change what they do. And, you know, this is a very typical startup, a founder journey I found. You know, I think that in the beginning, it's like being the all-knowing source of truth and solutions.
Yep.
And then it's in the beginning, that's what's awesome and empowering. And then that's what's holding the company back from growing to all it can be. So you turn from the enabling factor of your startup to the disabling factor of it. And I think that founders that are able to make that switch and make it fully are the ones that succeed most and have the biggest impact, which is what we're all, well, most of us are in it for it. So, all right, changing your mind. This is probably one of the most important things to work on as a human being is the way we deal with change and how good we are in changing. I think are super under, like, those are things we know are probably valuable, but there's not a lot of real discourse and real advice, and there's not a lot of like examination and working, really working on it versus just agreeing with it in theory. I love it.
I know change is constant. I live every moment as if it's changing. And every day, I know you mentioned about a year and this and that. Every day I want to feel like I changed. Every day I want to feel like I changed my opinion about something. And not just one thing, but so many things. And I think that like that idea of thinking about change and figuring out like what do you need to change is really powerful. It's really about what do you need to change personally, organizationally, all those things. And for me, I think, you know, the reason like I'm really passionate about this topic is it's a really core part of life. Change is constant, which means you have to change. Change is constant, which means you need to identify what's worth changing and what's not in every moment almost. And the better you get at that, the more likely you are to get to your goals and meet them and beat them.
Amen, brother. All right, that's it from us for this episode, everybody. Don't tell us we're not giving you everything we got. All right.
We are giving you everything we got for sure. Definitely. All right.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to hear about your change. We always love to hear from you. Shoot us an email, steli@close.io, hnchai@gmail.com, especially when you've just changed or about to change. We love those moments. And we'll continue to share our journey with everybody that's listening. Until next time, that's it from us.
Take care.